privilege and powerful authority, amen, in his presence, amen. So I want to see that in my generation. I want to see it in my nation. Can you say amen? I don't want to look longingly at something that happened in response to the people's cry and the mighty miracles and wonders of God, amen. This is as much Bible days as those days, because God, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God said of himself, I am the Lord God of Israel, and I change not. That meant the God of Abraham is our God, the God of Peter is our God, the God of Jeremiah is our God, and the God of Paul is our God. Can you say amen? Whatever they saw and experienced, we can expect. Hallelujah. Amen. I said whatever they saw and experienced, we can expect, because he is no less God in the postmodern world, 21st century. The church has changed, but God has not. Hallelujah. The culture has changed, but God has not. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. The Bible said, nevertheless, in spite of all the changes, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Can you say, make no mistake about it tonight. God knows the false from the real. He knows the phony from the authentic. He knows who are the bona fide, born again children of the living God tonight. Amen. Make no mistake about it. His foundation is standing sure in these shaky times. Amen. Because God acknowledges us as his children, and we acknowledge him as our Father. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We can expect great things from our God tonight, because God has not changed. Praise God. Amen. But what brings that power to bear? What brings that relationship? We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're marked. We wear God's brand spiritually, and he acknowledges us. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. But in a great house there are many vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor, it goes on to say. Amen. And it says there are vessels of gold and silver. There are vessels of wood and stubble and made out of lesser and clay. He said, flee youthful lust. Come out from among these. Be a vessel of honor before the Lord, so that he can father us and keep his covenant to us. Can you say amen? God has not changed. The church has changed. The standard has been lowered. Amen. But God is calling us tonight, every one of us that name his name, to become vessels of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Can you say amen? God is wanting to cleanse his church so he can use us, amen, and flow through us. Praise God. And I for one want that tonight. I got the Holy Ghost shakes coming to church tonight. I'll tell you, I was sitting in there and all of a sudden I felt the Lord come on me, sitting in that truck, amen, and somebody in a big SUV was running alongside of me, and I did one of them, and they give me a look like he's having a spasm. Wouldn't it be awful? Somebody called the popo, called the highway patrol, and said there's a man having a fit driving down the interstate, and if he loses control of that little black truck, Lord knows what's going to happen. They'll ask me if I've been drinking. I say, oh, yeah. But not what you think. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have that happen that often. I'm not given to just emotionalism for the sake of emotion, but I know what it is to experience the presence of God in my life. And I was just thinking about what the Lord said this morning that he was going to do in reaction to our prayers and getting us in a righteous standing so we can avail much. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And I'm just excited about people being saved and delivered and set free. And amen. And prayers answered to where God's name is glorified again. It gets exciting. I just got to thinking about that and praising him. And he just came on me and I reacted to that. Amen. But there's somebody going down the road. Said there's an old guy over in that truck over there. He having a spasm, having a seizure. Glory to God. You can forget yourself, can't you? When you see, when I drive down here, I watch and pray. I watch the road and pray. I am safe while I'm doing this. Praise God. I never turn loose of the wheel for a minute. God is so good tonight. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this service. Bless this short time that we have to get something out of your word that will teach us and give us hope in hurtful times. Lord, we just give you praise tonight for your goodness, your grace, your glory, for your precious word, Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would come and guide us into all truth tonight. We'll give you the praise and all of the honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Thank you for singing so good tonight and singing kind of handicapped this evening. We appreciate you for doing that. Amen. You're troopers, and I appreciate you. Praise God from the bottom of my heart. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 10. We're going to read for just a little while tonight and see where the Lord takes us in his word. The book of Daniel chapter 10. There's some telling scriptures that open to us things that that we wouldn't see if God hadn't recorded it in the Word of God. There's an invisible world that you don't see and I don't see that is more real and lasting than the world that we do see. The Bible literally said we don't look at the things that we can see in the tangible, visible world because they are temporal. They're passing. They're subject to change. We look past all of that. We look to the things which are unseen. We look literally through the eye of faith into this invisible world. Amen. And this invisible reality of God. God is a spirit, so you can't see him. Amen. Like you can see me here tonight, unless he made himself visible and made your eyes able to see him. There are two things would have to happen. He would have to make himself visible, and he's a spirit, and he'd have to give you eyes to see him. Praise God. It's the only way that would work. Remember the story of the prophet who a king and his army came to destroy Israel and the armies of Israel, and there was a prophet Elisha, and he would go and tell the king where the ambush was going to take place, and it infuriated the king because every time he set an ambush, he said the way to really defeat them is catch them off guard. We'll take few casualties. We will do like a Pearl Harbor thing on the number on them. They won't know what hit them, but they would turn and go the other way every single time if they got them into a narrow pass where they were going to fall upon them and slaughter them. Amen. They would turn and go the other way, and he decided there's a snitch in my army. Someone is going and giving this information, selling it to them, and he was getting ready to, you know, torture or kill or cut off the heads of who he found. And a man that knew this prophet dwelt in Israel, and he knew what was going on. He knew there was a God in Israel and a prophet of God in Israel. And it wasn't like the gods of the other nations, the Bible said, that has eyes and see not, and ears that hear not, and hands that can't deliver. But this God is a God who can see everything, knows everything, hears everything, and have hands that can deliver. He's invisible, but when he moves, you can see the result of his moving. And he went and told this king, said, listen, there's no one disloyal to you here. There's a prophet that the God of these people talks to and tells him your plans to destroy them. So the king gets the bright idea, okay, let's surround this prophet's tent by night. When he wakes up in the morning, there will be a great army enough to fight Israel's army around this one man and his servant. So the servant got out to gather the wood to make breakfast for his master. He got out, and everywhere he looked, he saw this army, this great army. And he ran back in the tent, and he said, Master, how shall we do? He said, come look. He said, there's no way out. We're surrounded. So the man of God said, you know, there's more with us than there is with them. That was to comfort him. There's more with us than there is with them. There's more with us than there is with them. And it did not comfort him because he couldn't see past the reality of the tangible material world. He just couldn't see any further than that. God really wants you to see further than that tonight. Can you say amen? And in scriptures like I'm about to read tonight, we get a glimpse of that other world out there. We get a glimpse of angels. We get a glimpse of demonic forces that actually try to hinder angels from carrying out God's purposes in behalf of you and me. Incredible glimpse into spiritual warfare. Let me say something about prayer tonight, because when we read from Daniel, Daniel is praying and seeking God for answers concerning all that God showed him. And this is going to be a book I'm going too quick. I know that I am. We better finish one thing before I go to another. But let's get the other and then go back to the one thing. I really believe Daniel is going to be the book. I'm convinced of that, because the Jewish people as a nation do not acknowledge the New Testament from Malachi forward. They give no credibility to. They have not accepted, by and large. They're converted Jews, but by and large, they haven't accepted Christ as their Messiah. But a day is coming when they're going to. A day is coming when their eyes are going to be opened. Amen. And I believe the book of Daniel is sealed not to the church, but particularly it is sealed in the sense of they haven't seen who this Ancient of Days is and how Jesus fits that to a, like a glove on a hand. They haven't seen all of that yet. But I really believe the book of Daniel is going to be the book that God opens the eyes of an entire nation with. Daniel is kind of the book of Revelation in the Old Testament. Can you say, man? The book of Daniel. And you know what he said to do after you write this book to Daniel? It was a vitally important book. It wasn't just for that generation or the church in this generation. I believe it is for national Israel and spiritual Israel as well. But I believe the nation of Israel, you know, a day is coming when they're going to come to Christ. Christ as their Savior. Amen. And the gospel is going to be carried by Jewish evangelists that say, I want the whole world to know about our Messiah. And the Bible said there will be a day when people lay hold, because of the revelation they have, they'll lay hold of the coat of him who is a Jew and ask them to show them the way. Can you say amen? That's all prophetically true. So this book and the understanding and getting it right was so vital, and Daniel knew something so important to the future of the nation of Israel was being pinned here. Amen. But God told him to do something where it said, I want you to seal it up until the time of the end. Can you say amen? For many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And I don't believe that's just the technology. I believe it's a counterpart to something else. I believe spiritual revelation, particularly in the nation of Israel, that knowledge is going to come to them. Amen. The knowledge of the Lord during God's kingdom and reign here upon the earth is going to cover the earth like the waves cover the sea. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if anything that is important to God's kingdom work and kingdom purposes, the enemy is going to fight tooth and toenail. He's going to fight it. And I don't believe we're equipped like we should be. I don't believe the average Christian sitting in the pew on Sunday morning is aware of these things taking place in the heavenlies. I don't think we understand the dark world as clearly as we should. I don't think we understand the assistance that we have offered us as children of the Most High God. Amen? I don't think we understand that prayer for anything involves spiritual warfare. Amen? There's an enemy to everything you're praying for. There's an adversary that has to be defeated. And importunity becomes the word in prayer. The first qualifier is righteousness. The effectual, fervent prayer. See, it's not just faith. It's not even primarily the importunity. We're going to get to that, the consistency in it. You know what it is primarily? Having a standing with God where he will listen. He told them that you will not pray in Isaiah 58. You won't pray as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. God won't listen to a prayer, no matter how beautifully framed, unless the heart is right before him. The heart, and I'm not talking about sinless perfection. If that was the standard, no one in here could pray an effective prayer. Can you say amen? Righteous doesn't mean you're sinlessly perfect, but it means you're perfectly content with the Lordship of Jesus. You're not fighting against that. You don't have a problem with him being the Lord of your life. If you've got a problem with Jesus being the Lord of your life, you're going to have a real issue. It's hard to stand on Satan's ground and ask for God's deliverance. You got to come on over on God's ground if you're praying for his help in your life. Can you say amen? The effectual fervent prayer, fervency is important, but it begins of a what kind of man? Sinlessly perfect? No, righteous. How do you get right with God? Well, you start by receiving Jesus as your Savior. You continue by following him as your Savior. Can you say amen? Not just in going to church on Sunday and trying to do some things differently, but saying, Jesus, I want to surrender. Amen. I'm tired of my way and then asking you to help me out of the mess I made out of it. Lord, I want to quit messing up so many. I want you to start leading me And in order to do that, I want to surrender to your lordship in my life. I want the word of God to be something I obey and apply, not just something I hear and walk away from. I'm some poor preacher up here where it has to watch you watch your watch. And you say, amen. I do not enjoy watching you watching your watch, and you don't enjoy the preaching if you're watching your watch. But if you believe tonight the God of heaven is going to listen to you when you pray, and he's going to move, it gets exciting in this place. Can you say amen? Oh, you ain't never lived till you pray specifically and see God specifically answer that supernaturally. There's power in that. Praise God. Amen. We were in here just the other day to see God move supernaturally. You know, I can't get away from it, how God moves. And sometimes we miss it. We were in here talking about our 30-minute radio broadcast. And I was just thanking God for Psalm 107, verse 20, the basis for our outreach by media. And it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And God sends his word. We begin to retrace. God sending his word. We were thanking God for the open door for radio ministry on the station in the North Florida that is hooked up to the World Wide Web so it can go anywhere in America and anywhere in the world. I haven't got an email from anywhere in the world, but I did understand that there was a call that came in from someone in Virginia who, when the station was struck by lightning, called up and said, when are you going to be back on the air? I want to hear that broadcast. So we knew that we had a listening base in Virginia. Can you say, man? We have a listening base in North Florida because people came to the station to thank them for carrying our broadcast. That's a wonderful endorsement, amen, that God is finding a target for his word. But what I'm waiting to hear, amen, and whether I hear it here or when I get home in heaven, is the people that have come to know Jesus Christ, because we're talking about Jesus. We're not talking about politics, though sometimes we need to. But that broadcast is not a forum to talk about politics or anything. It's about Jesus coming into the hearts and lives. Listen, if we get enough people in America saved with Jesus as the Lord of our life, this entire spectrum in the political, in the cultural, everything is going to change, right? And the devil well knows it. Can you say amen? And prayer, being able to pray effectively so our prayer is heard on high, becomes the crucial issue of it all. Amen. We send up prayers like the guy that I call them shotgun prayers. They're not specific, and we don't have the target in view, and it's like a guy that just shoots into a pack of dogs that are barking all night long, hoping he'll hit one of them. It's a lot of praying like that. It's just, I call them shotgun prayers. We just, Lord, my name's Jimmy. I want all you give me. Not you, Jimmy. We got a Jimmy here. There's always a Jimmy in the audience when I say that. Supplication means distinct, direct request. It's coming before God and being specific, lining up with his will and praying accordingly. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's power in this thing. Power in it. And the enemy knows the power of it. Moses stands on a hill. His hands are raised. The Chaldee is much stronger than what we have in our Bible. The Chaldee says he stood with his hands raised in prayer. There had to be more going on than just lifting your hands. Amen. He was praying. He was interceding for Israel. You get a glimpse in the invisible by seeing what's taking place in the visible. Oh, to finish the radio story, we were talking about that. Quoted the scripture, Psalm 107:20. He sent his word, and how supernaturally God is making a way for his word to get out of such a small setting. And the phone rang during the service, which it rarely does that. And if it does that, we rarely answer. But in case it's an emergency for someone that doesn't have a cell, we answer it. And my wife went in and answered it. And it was the radio station calling, amen, telling us, would you like an hour on Sunday, amen, to bring a live broadcast from the Sunday service? Praise God. Right while we were saying that, God answered. Praise God. We were praying for outreach, and God answered. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but but that makes me get really, really excited about prayer and about the presentation of the gospel and saying, I don't care if there was four people here, if God opens up those doors for us, there are churches, amen, that have 1,000 people in attendance, and when they go out that door, there's no influence beyond that community, even anywhere. Amen. We're a church that just has what we have here, amen, a lot less than 1,000. How many would agree there's less than 1,000 here? Someone's going to hear this somewhere. You know what they're going to assume? There's only about 750 people there. And if y'all amen real loud, we'll convince them of that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Only about 750 or 800, you know, little church on the corner. And for God to use us because we pray and because we're committed to His cause and because the name of the broadcast is not let's talk about church, let's talk about politics, let's talk about the preacher. No, it's let's talk about Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God honors that because that honors God. I said God honors that because that honors God. Can you say amen? I love to honor Him. I found out a church full of people without that supernatural element can't do very much. But a church with a few people with the supernatural, hey man, can do things beyond our wildest dreams and expectations. And I fully expect to hear some testimony one of these days, because we're going to be faithful as long as the door is open. God keeps it open. Praise God of people coming to know Jesus because we're preaching a gospel that has the power to save. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It is the power of God unto salvation. When someone believes it, it releases God's power. Hallelujah. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, the book of James says, avails much. We've got entire churches full of people that have come to know Christ as their Savior. And we're not seeing very much. And because of the lack of the real move of God, we laden the church with programs to entertain. Because if there's not something to capture and hold the attention, people just get bored with it. It becomes mundane and they don't come. I love to see people get saved. I love to see them get healed. I love to see them get filled with the Holy Spirit. I love to see them get delivered and set free from bondage. Can you say, man? I love the morning service back at the old Holy Church of God when almost everybody left but about a dozen of us. And we were standing around still worshiping, wrapped up in worship. My shirt was out of my pants. I'd preached myself and I was sweaty and my hair was mussed up. And it'd been one of those Holy Ghost mornings. So yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Been one of those Holy Ghost services in the morning. And a guy came in off the street. There are always people coming off the street in Silver Springs. Came in with a young lady. Amen. And he brought her up for prayer. Amen. And I said, what is her problem? He said, she's nerve deaf. It is my understanding that there is no cure for someone who has nerve deafness. Amen. But she's standing there and I went to pray for her and the Holy Ghost came on me and said, this involves a spirit, not just a problem with the physical. There is a spiritual root to this problem. I want you to take authority over that spirit. And I said, sir, can she read lips? And he said, yes. I said, would you talk to her? You used to communicating with her. Amen. And would you tell her I'm going to pray against the enemy that is binding her, and then I'm going to pray for her healing. Amen. And he communicated, and she acknowledged she would look at his mouth. She zeroed in on his mouth to understand what I was praying. And I laid hands on her, took authority over the enemy as the Lord instructed me to do. Amen. Because every situation doesn't involve that kind of thing, but this one did. Amen. And the moment I laid hands on her, she cried out, fell backwards under God's power, and she got up and she cried out, I can hear. And she didn't say it like someone that is deaf that don't know. At first, your voice, you don't know the volume. If someone is deaf and yet they can speak, their voice tells you that they can't hear good. Even if it isn't high-pitched, there's something there because they don't hear anything as they're speaking except maybe some vibrations. Her voice was normal like my voice. Amen. And I told him, I said, send her to to the back door of the church. I stayed on the platform. I said, turn her toward the door, amen, so she can't see us. And I took off the microphone and I began to ask her to say the phrases that I was saying. And she began to say the praises. Can you say praises? Well, I don't know what that does for you, but that does something for me to see God come through, our God, to answer prayer, set people free, deliver people, to see the enemy's kingdom begin to shake and to shudder because the name of Jesus is mighty in prayer and mighty in battle. Can you say amen? What they realized about Moses was when his hand was raised in prayer, there was an ebb and flow of the battle. When his hands came down, when he became weary, and thereby just to take a rest because of his physical exhaustion, that battle turned. That battle turned. If that doesn't tell you, so Aaron and Hur said, you know, when he is the primary intercessor because he has been designated as the leader of Israel. And he has a relationship with God. He has a standing with God. Other prophets, God said, I will speak to in visions and dreams, but not so my servant Moses. I will speak to him mouth to mouth. Can you say amen? And when he prays, things happen. Look what's happening. Look what's occurring. Amen. Prayer is not just some religious exercise we go through hoping that God may listen and he may move. Prayer is a powerful force. Amen. And God works in tandem with man. God works in tandem with man. He's always looking for an intercessor. There's actually a scripture that says, I'm going to have to judge Israel. But I don't want to bring judgment. I want someone to pray right now. And I look for a man. Imagine the sovereign, almighty God of the universe. I don't fully understand, amen, how his system is set up. But I understand it through these scriptures enough to know when someone on this earth prays, power is released. I said great power is released. James was trying to tell us the effectual, fervent prayer of a man with a standing before God availeth much. One translation of that Greek word much says is mighty in its working and mighty in its power. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise tonight. It's not enough to go to Washington and get 100,000 people to pray for America. We got to get 100,000 people to repent and pray for America. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, repentance is doing 180 degrees. It's not just praying off conviction. It's not just shedding tears. It's deciding I'm going this way and it's not God's way. This is God's way, so that's the way I'm going. Amen. Can you say amen? Problem is the church wants God to answer prayer, but we don't want to go through the process of truly getting right with him. But my Bible said if we return to him, he'll return to us. And honey, when God returns, the enemy's going to know it. All the gainsayers are going to know it. Can you say, man, when God starts answering prayer, the church is going to come alive. It's going to thrive. I've spoken these things unto you. John 15, it's all about answered prayer and fruitfulness. He said that my joy might be in you and that your joy might remain. Amen. If my word abide in you and you abide in me, there's righteousness encapsulated. Can you say amen? You'll ask what you will. Why? Because it'll be his will. Because the word is living in you and it shall be done unto you. When I pray for souls, all heaven backs me up. When I pray that eyes will be opened, amen, that the devil is blinded, all heaven backs me up. Amen. When I pray for an Escalade for my own use so I can sport around in it, I just don't need the thing. Big gas guzzling thing. While the church is praying for bigger cars and bigger houses and more bathrooms, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And people doubt which God is the true and living God. God has always distinguished himself with power. Amen. He would move and say that they may know there's a God in Israel. Can you say amen? That they may know that I am the living and true God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When John was asked, he didn't give him a theology lesson. When John said, "Are you He, Jesus? I have designated you as the Messiah, and that's such an important designation. I want to double check myself and my leading. Are you He?" He was in prison for preaching and said, "Go ask Jesus, is He the one?" Amen. Because John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He said, "That's such an important statement," I blurted out. "I felt I had a revelation, but it's so vital that He is the true Messiah. Go ask Him, servants. Go ask Him. I don't want to miss it. Something this important." So they come and said, "Our master sent you to say, are you He, or should we look for another?" He said, "Go tell him." What? "Go tell him to read the scriptures again. Go tell him to study Isaiah. Go tell him." No, I said, "Go tell him the blind see. Go tell him the lame walk. Go tell him demons are being dethroned and cast out. And he'll know I am He." Because the God of Israel is a God that distinguishes Himself by answering prayer and by moving supernaturally. Hallelujah. If you get saved, it's going to take the supernatural, because flesh and blood cannot reveal Christ. We got preachers coming out of Bible college think they're good enough to undo the blinders of the devil and open eyes to see. I heard a preacher just today talking about God making us fishers of men by giving us the ability to win arguments. No, we don't win arguments. We preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit opens the eyes. Flesh and blood doesn't reveal Jesus as who He is, but my Father only. Amen. We're up against a spiritual enemy that has blinded the minds of men. No matter how intellectually astute you are, I don't care what your IQ is. It can be over 150. I guess that's a high number. Is that a high number? They had IQ tests on the computer. I didn't take it. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to limit myself. And I certainly didn't want to limit the Holy Ghost in me. I don't depend on my IQ. Amen. But I depend on the Holy Ghost. I don't know what Peter's IQ was. I know he was a fisherman by trade, not a theologian. But I know one thing. He said, "We preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven." Everybody say, "With the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven." Hallelujah. How many Bible colleges today say you can't graduate unless you learn to lean on the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven? We ain't going to turn you loose in a pulpit with a PhD in theology if you don't understand you got to lean on the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Paul said, "When I preached to you, I did not preach with the wisdom of men, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. So this is a spiritual thing, isn't it? Every time the gospel is preached, there is spiritual warfare. Every time you pray for someone, you enter into spiritual warfare. You say, "Well, I'm not into deliverance ministry." This is not about deliverance by the laying on of hands and casting out devils. This is being able to pray effectively. You've got to put on God's armor to pray effectively. And there's a breastplate, amen, that is called the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. It is positional when you receive Christ and the blood is applied. It is personal as you yield to Jesus as the Lord of your life. And when you yield to Jesus as the Lord of your life, you're not going to be able to walk it out sinlessly perfect. The Bible is very clear about that. You're not held in sin's dread sway. You're not shackled by sin. But honey, there will be times you need to repent. See, that's the message we're not open to. That is so vital to seeing God move in such a way as to heal a nation. To heal a nation. You say, "Well, it's become so sinful in America." God said, "Where sin doth abound, my grace," and the Greek word there is hyper. That means superabound, above and beyond. "Where sin abounds, my grace superabounds." I'm more ready to save, amen, than in just a pretty good place, amen. When it's really evil, my grace, amen, addresses that by superabounding toward those people. If they cry unto me, I'll save them like that. Can you say, "Man, turned Nineveh around, didn't he?" Nineveh was a bad place. Nineveh was known for actually cutting prophets asunder that went down to preach there. No wonder Jonah. Don't be too hard on Jonah. If you knew what you were headed into, Nineveh had a reputation for taking prophets and tying them to six horses headed in different directions, three that way and three this way, with ropes to their feet and to their arms, and whipping the horses and startling them till they pull them apart. They were cut in two, cut in sunder, in half. And God says, Jonah, go tell him judgment is coming. He didn't tell Jonah to go down and tell him, if you'll build your faith, you can get this and that. Go tell him I'm going to judge them. And Jonah says, you know, I'm not going down there. They're going to kill me and they ain't going to listen to God, so why die for a lost cause? But when Jonah went, something happened. When he told them judgment is coming, the king, and he must have been a nasty guy, he felt the fear of the Lord come all over him. That's something missing in preaching today, is the fear of the Lord. He felt the fear of the Lord come all over him. The fear of eternity without God. The fear of answering to God for his crimes against him and his people that he sent him. And the fear of the Lord come on. That old king began to tremble. Amen. That had the power to kill that prophet. But he said he felt the presence of the God that sent that man, and the fear of the Lord made him tremble, and he came off his throne and he put off his royal robes and put on sackcloth. He put on something that represented his humility. Can you say amen? And he proclaimed a fast in the land. He said, not only is everybody here not going to eat, don't let me catch you eating. Get rid of those snack crackers. Can you say amen? Get rid of that. No, don't go. No, you better board up McDonald's. You better shut down the Golden Corral. Can you say amen? We're dealing with a God that's getting ready to, amen. I felt him. I know he's real, but I felt him in the terrible sense of facing him as my judge. And we got to change this. Can you say amen? He began to repent in sackcloth and ashes, proclaimed a fast. He said, by the way, we want to let God know we're serious. Not only are we going to fast, but that cow is not going to graze. Get him out of the pasture. Amen. Don't you feed that dog. Amen. Don't you feed that parakeet. Don't you feed any animal either. We want God to know we mean business with him. God looked down on that and repented of the judgment that he was going to send, and said, this is what I wanted all along. I want to send a revival. I want to forgive and I want to restore. Can you say amen? Then the prophet got mad because God didn't kill him. After all, he put him through to get there and lost the grace that was covering him and keeping him from sunstroke. Can you say amen? Let's make one thing perfectly clear tonight. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to give you life. And I came to give it to you more abundantly. Better than anything the world can offer. His peace is without price. Everybody say, his peace is without price. Bill Gates has got $58 billion, but he don't have the peace to die that I've got tonight. Can you say, man, death scares him to death. Now, I don't like pain. Amen? I'd rather be killed by one clean shot. Instant death, instant glory. Can you say amen? I don't want to fight nobody with no knife. Shoot me with a gun. And don't miss. And hit me in a vital spot. But being dead... Honey, there ain't no such thing as being dead for a Christian. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And present with the Lord, there's nothing wrong with that. Can you say amen? Bill Gates has got $58 billion, but he can't buy what I got in me tonight and what you have in you tonight. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but you're exceedingly rich tonight. Praise God. You've got something death can't conquer. There are people that have been held in bondage their whole life for the fear, amen, of death. Praise God. But Jesus conquered it at the cross and became the first fruits of them that slept. That means the first man to be raised from the dead, never to die again, but not the last man. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He did it so you and I, hallelujah, can walk in his victory. Praise God. Amen. We didn't even read the scripture yet. I guess we'd better. It's almost time to go home. But God is good tonight. 10th chapter of the book of Daniel is the story. Let me just tell it to you, and you read the 10th chapter at home, and it'll save time. We'll condense. Let's finish, Elisha. Master, how should we do? King has surrounded him. We got him. He can't go tell the king what his God is telling him now. Well, see, God does more than reveal things. God moves in power. So Elisha said, there's more with us than with them. Didn't comfort him at all because he didn't see anything in the invisible world. All he could see was the visible. And we're dealing, by and large, with the visible. I think there are churches that we don't really espouse their teachings that are more aware of the demonic world, the spiritual realm, than we who think we hold that great corner on truth. And we do in things that can be theologically debated. There's clearly truths that we're standing for. But when it comes to an insight into that realm, we have all but quit dealing with the demonic. All but quit. Does Satan play fair? Let me ask you, does Satan play fair? He's a liar. He's a murderer from the beginning. Did he say, you know, the church don't deal with it anymore, so it wouldn't be right if I bound people because they got these Dr. Phil types now that can psychologically analyze everybody and make them better. You can do that till you run upon something that is spiritual in nature. At that point, all that stuff breaks down. It has a place. But we need the power of God back in the Church of Jesus Christ. God allowed me and my wife, early before we were called into preaching ministry, when we were just trying to help missionaries, God allowed us to experience the demonic, the satanic, the entity, the darkness, to personally experience that. In a motel room down near Lake Okeechobee on the way to take stuff to send with the missionary to help clothe children in Jamaica, we encountered that world of darkness. And God taught us something. He taught us about when we were scared to where I'd never encountered the supernatural. I'd felt the supernatural power of God, but I'd never encountered evil personified. When something's in a room without seeing it, but you know it's there. Amen. And if you haven't encountered that, I don't want to scare you tonight. God allowed us to do that because we're going to be dealing with it. I can't preach the gospel without encountering that world. The gospel has the power to save, and Satan don't want to lose anybody. Amen? He really doesn't. And when we encountered that, all I knew to do was cry out to Jesus. And when I cried out to Jesus and actually called his name, I felt courage. I felt strength. And that enemy in that room that was so foreboding and so imposing, I could feel it lose power and draw back. My wife actually choked like someone had her hands around. A cold came in that room. A chill came in there like you were in a freezer. It was an incredible thing. And the entity, the evil, it made me want to run out the door and get the missionary, someone experienced with this kind of stuff. But we were not just helping missionaries. I was praying, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit. If I'm going to, I want the power of God to operate in my life. And honey, if you start dealing with a gospel that comes with power and not just a gospel that is designed for the intellect, I hear a lot of good teaching that really is intellectually persuasive. But Peter said, we don't preach with that alone. We preach with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Hallelujah. 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 And that ought to be the graduate course of everyone that's going to come out of a Bible college. The graduate course ought to be, you got to learn how to lean on the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? I don't believe we'd have such theological error that is going on if people were really depending on the Holy Ghost, because he's not only powerful in his might, amen, but in truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. And when he comes, he will guide us into truth. We'll see the truth of Scripture and we will rightfully divide it. And we won't be hoodwinked and hornswoggled by the devil. So Elijah knew there's a spiritual realm out there beyond this physical. And he said, we got the advantage because there's more with us. And it did not console his servant because all he could see was that great army. And so he asked God to give him a glimpse into that realm. And he said, Lord, because this guy's shaking. He said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The moment he prayed that prayer, he looked again. And there was an army of fiery chariots surrounding the army of physical men. Wow. Hence, more with us than them. Hezekiah put it this way, with them is the arm of flesh. With us is the Lord our God. And you know what Jesus is called in the Old Testament? The captain of the Lord's host. All of those angels, amen, are at his disposal. Can you say amen? Amen. Which means the commander in chief of the Lord's armies. Can you say amen? Everybody say his name is Jesus. Everybody say, that's why Satan trembles at the sound of his name, because he's the Lord of hosts. He's the commander in chief of heaven's armies. And when he comes back, he's coming back on a white horse with a name on his thigh written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And the armies of heaven followed him. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 So when we go to pray and intercede, we put on the whole armor of God. Because all that armor is for an arena that we go to pray in. And it's an arena that we must fight in. Daniel went down to the river to ask for the revelation of what he had seen. He wanted to get it right. Same attitude. For 21 days he ate no pleasant bread. He got exceedingly weak. I think the stress of what he had seen and the concerns about it helped to weaken him. Said he couldn't hardly stand up anymore. He just felt so weak and drained. He felt like everything is... See, there's that weariness. When that battle would ebb and flow, that invisible world was coming into view. He couldn't see the angels, couldn't see the power of prayer, but they could see when the man's hands come down and he stopped praying for a little while out of weariness, that the enemy began to win the battle. But when his hands went up, he began to pray effectually. What happened? When the effectual prayer of a righteous man, what happens? What happens? It avails much, so let's get right with God so we can pray like that. And let's pray consistently so God can move. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Mighty things were happening. So they put a rock under him. Amen. Let him sit on the rock. They took his hands and held it up. All he had to do was move his mouth. The only energy he needed then was just to be praying with. And that the enemy began to fall back and Israel won the day. If there's ever an example of God's power in prayer and the vitalness of... No wonder the devil fights the church for praying. No wonder C.H. Spurgeon said, I'd rather teach, amen, one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Amen. Hallelujah. After 21 days, he must be just laid over. An angel appears, the 10th chapter of Daniel. He has a message from God for him concerning the book of Daniel. Again, that I believe is the book that is going to come unsealed to the nation of Israel. It's already unsealed to us. Amen. But there's a seal. There's a revelation going to come to Israel. And I don't believe it's going to begin with the New Testament that they do not accept. I believe they're going to see the Messiah in the Old Testament first. And then they're going to say, yeah, he fits the bill. Can you say, man, glory to God, Jesus fits the bill. The one that we looked at as a charlatan, the one that we thought wasn't him. We've been longing and looking for him all the time. He was him. Amen. The veil is going to be broken. What a vital book. No wonder the enemy fought it so. Amen. He fights revelation of Jesus. He fights the revelation of Jesus, the realization of Jesus. He knows, amen, how world-changing and life-changing that can be. So, this angel comes before Daniel, and Daniel begins to shake. Daniel tries to stand up in his weakness, but he was so... Listen, if you think angels are fat babies with wings because you got a Hallmark card at Valentine's Day, amen, I don't believe this would have been happening. I don't believe hell trembles because of fat babies with rings with rosy cheeks. Amen. Our concept of that world is different. When you see it for real, this is a mighty angel. Amen. And he wasn't even the mightiest. He was just a messenger. Gabriel was a messenger angel. All he ever did was bring messages. He's the one that came to Mary. A messenger angel. Can you say, man, great important messages, but a carrier of messages between heaven and earth. Oh, but Michael's the warrior angel of God Almighty. Amen. When someone threatens his people, he stands up to defend them. And when there's war in the heavenlies, he leads the battle against the enemy. Hallelujah. And he represents God's power. And he's never lost a battle because God is Almighty God. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus holds all authority in three worlds. In heaven, there's not an angel that don't know he's Lord. Amen. On earth, amen, he's Lord, whether people acknowledge him or not. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to that fact according to the word of God. Can you say amen? And down in the nether world, there's great faith in Jesus. Down in the netherworld and the minions of hell all know his name. Can you say amen? There's not a devil in hell that don't tremble at the sound of his name. Can you say amen? That's why the name of Jesus is so mighty in prayer, because it's mighty in battle, and prayer is warfare. Daniel stands up. If you want to read the narrative, you can tonight or anytime you feel like it. Daniel chapter 10. And the Bible said he was shaking so bad, his knees smote one against the other. There was a clicking sound going on as his knees just banged against one another. And he fell down before the angel to worship. And the angel picked him up by the belt, it said. Girdle is what it says in the King James. It means his belt. Daniel wasn't wearing a girdle. There's a lady out on 92 going into Tampa before the interstate was built that ran off the road and went into some bushes and hit a tree or something. She wasn't badly hurt. And the highway patrol came and asked her why she was driving recklessly. How'd she lose control of the vehicle, wondering where to charge her or not? And she had got off from work and decided, I can't stand this girdle another minute. And while driving a car, she was trying to squirm out of a girdle. That's worse than being on the cell phone and texting. Can you say amen? Leave the girdle on. Get home safe. You got through 8 hours at the job with it. Just leave that sucker on. Can you say amen? Don't mess with it while you're driving. But it said he reached down and grabbed him by the girdle. He grabbed him by the belt, picked him up and stood him up on his feet and said, worship isn't for me. Key thing here. You don't worship angels, you worship God. Angels that are true angels refuse your worship. Can you say, man, it's God they glorify. It's God they serve. Praise God. And they serve us in his behalf. And the angel said, Daniel, you are greatly beloved of God. And 21 days ago, the day that you prayed for the answer, the day that you prayed for the correct revelation of what I showed you. Amen. So you can be right. The day you prayed, I was sent. That means God does hear prayer, doesn't he? Hallelujah. God does listen. The day you prayed, God dispatched the angel with the answer. But something happened between heaven and earth. There's a prince of the power of the air. And there is powers and principalities, rulers of the darkness of this earth, spiritual wickedness in high places. Can you say amen? And the Bible said the prince of Persia. I did some historic investigation. There was no king of Persia at that time. There was no prince in the political sense at that time. This was not a man fighting and withholding an angel from coming, because no man on this earth can withstand an angel of the Lord. This was a spiritual entity. And said he just wouldn't let me through. For 21 days. And God could have sent Michael with him. God could have sent Michael the first day, but he didn't. Why did God wait? Because something important as what he was doing in Daniel, something as important as souls. He wants to see our tenacity, our sincerity, whether or not we are committed. If you pray and don't get an answer, keep on praying it. That's the message of Daniel. I don't care if it's 21 days, 21 weeks, 21 months. Can you say, I don't care if it's 21 years. Amen. I've been praying for people for a long, long time. Amen. And the message tonight is don't relent. Can you say, man, listen, God is, the devil can't hold the answer when God gets ready, when God says enough. Can you say, man, I'm telling you something mighty is going to happen. Hallelujah. Because God dispatched Michael. And when Michael came, amen, then Gabriel was released to come and bring the message. That's because when Michael came, the power of God, he came to enforce the might of God, the power of God in the heavenlies. Here's a man praying on the earth without a clue. But here's an angel standing before him telling him, listen, when you started praying for an answer, amen, you entered into spiritual warfare. You didn't just give a petition to God. You caused things to come into play in the heavenlies. When you prayed on earth, God answered from heaven. The devil fought against it, but the devil always loses. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. The message of Daniel is, when we pray, heavenly forces come into play. The devil rises up to withstand it. God rises up to answer it. And if we don't give up, give in, get discouraged, go back, we're going to see the mightiest answers to prayer. We're going to see things happen. Can you say, man, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful in its working. Let's go back to Elisha. God loves to demonstrate his power. Open his eyes, Lord, let him see. There were chariots of fire surrounding the army that was surrounding them. The man of God knew. Now, this man knows what I knew without seeing it, but I ask you to let him see it. He said, but God, with all that available power, here's another prayer principle, listen to it. All that power. God wanted to deliver Israel. He did not want his prophet killed as a martyr or any other reason at that time. He wanted to show forth his glory and power. He wanted the nations to know there's a God in Israel. It's not like the gods man-made and handmade. He's invisible, but he's viable. Can you say, man? People pray and things happen. That proves that he's real and he's a reality. He's a covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. So the man of God goes out and says, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. They can't win battles if they're blind. You don't have to kill them. Do something that will dishonor them and will give glory to you. Smite them with blindness. And immediately an entire armed army became completely stone blind. These angels went into play, made them blind. Power of God was available, but somebody had to pray. Power of God was surrounding, the people surrounding them, but somebody had to pray. Can you say amen? Somebody had to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the supernatural came into play. Army became blind. The prophet of God walks up before this great army that's blind, fearful, trembling, because something had happened to every one of them, and they knew it was supernatural. And he said, where would you like to go? They said, we'd like to go home. He said, would you follow me, please? I can see. I said, okay. Can you imagine a mighty army, single file, hand on each other's shoulder, following the man of God they came to kill, as he takes that army to the king of Israel? And when they get before the king of Israel, you know what his decision was? That God had given him into his hand. What his decision was? Go in there and slay them all. They're our enemies. They tried to kill us. They came to kill us. No. He said, send them back to their country just like they are. And let them know back there, there's a God in Israel. If we slaughter them, they'll think that we surprise attack them. They will give the credit to man. But if they go home supernaturally blinded with no scars, nothing wrong with the eyes except they can't see, they'll know there's a God in Israel. Israel's God is different than the man-made, handmade gods of the other nations. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you something else. Our God is different than the man-made, handmade gods. And let me tell you something else. We can theologically argue the authority of Scripture all day long, but our God has always distinguished Himself with power. Can you say amen? I'll say, everybody say, our God has always distinguished Himself with power. So John said, are you he, or should we look for another? And Jesus said, tell him the blind see. Tell him the lame walk. Tell him the deaf hear. Tell him the dumb talk. Tell him demons are dethroned and cry out and come out. And he'll know I am the Messiah. Somebody give God praise tonight. Will you stand to your feet? Let's give God some praise tonight. Do you have this morning's disc? Hallelujah. I don't know. It's got a mark on it. It's not yellow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't God good tonight? Isn't God good tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's it. Praise God. Number one again tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I went to preach on prayer this morning. All I could preach on is righteousness. Imagine that. Going to preach on the power of prayer. God didn't lead me to faith. He didn't lead me to confession. He didn't lead me to standing on the word. He leaded me to righteousness, because the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Get the church right with God. Submit unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from us, because God will stand up and he'll take up the fight. How many want to be godly men and women in this room tonight? How many want to pray like you've never prayed and see God? I bound some things to my heart. Amen. After I got through eating my hamburger, when I bowed to bless my hamburger and french fries, I prayed for my children that need the Lord. And I have bound a covenant before God that I will not say a little prayer over my food without interceding for people that are lost. I'm not going to sit there for 2 hours until my hamburger gets cold. But I am going to pray every day. It's a reminder. I'm not going to pray over my food and not pray for people that need to know Christ as their Savior. And it's not going to be no big deal. I just closed it. But instead of saying amen, I said, and Lord, save my son. And Lord, save our children. And Lord, save the lost in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I've incorporated that because I believe there's power in prayer. So I don't eat hamburgers without intercession. Glory to God. It's an occasion once again to say, I'm still here standing in the gap, making up the hedge. And we're going to see some things happen. We're going to see, amen, some darkened eyes come open, because while we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, see, it is warfare, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That means those people sitting in darkness will see a great light if we intercede effectively for them. So if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way. See, you've got to have a standing with God. You've got to be in right standing with God. You can't just preach faith, amen, or confession, or even standing on the word. Hallelujah. It's a matter of the heart getting clean. And when people are getting hungry for those clean hearts, i.e. hungry for righteousness, God said, I'm going to fill you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want hell to tremble when I pray. Amen. I want to know that angels assemble themselves when we pray over this nation, over our children, over our households. I want to see the delivering power of God again. I want to see His name glorified. I want to see Him distinguished because of the power that's released when we pray. When people come to Christ in this room, amen, God is distinguishing Himself. Can you say amen as the living and true God? Because flesh and blood doesn't reveal Jesus, no matter how hard I preach or how intellectually persuasive I am. Amen. But my Father only, it's exclusively the work of God, and it's supernatural. Can you say amen? I want to be a godly man. Let's give Him praise tonight. I want to wake up to righteousness. Everybody say, awake to righteousness and sin not. That is the foundation for everything.